All right, so let's dive into something that's really kind of pushing the boundaries in biomedical engineering, graph neural networks, or GNNs. And imagine like a computer that can understand the relationships between proteins in our cells, not just as like individual molecules, but as part of like a dynamic network. That's the power of GNNs. And for you, our bioengineering students out there, this is a game changer. You're already coding whizzes and machine learning enthusiasts. So GNNs are like unlocking a whole new toolkit for tackling challenges in systems biology.
It's like shifting from a microscope to a satellite view of cellular processes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've compiled some notes and excerpts about graph neural networks, and our goal today is to really extract the key concepts and explore how GNNs are revolutionizing systems biology.
Right.
We'll see how they're being used to predict protein function, design new drugs, analyze diseases, so much more.
What's fascinating here is that GNNs address a fundamental limitation of traditional deep learning approaches in biology. Think about convolutional neural networks, or CNNs.
CNNs.
They're great for images and grid-like data, but biological systems are inherently interconnected networks,
Right.
not neatly organized grids.
So trying to apply CNNs to things like protein interactions or metabolic pathways is like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Precisely. CNNs struggle with the irregular data structures that are so common in biology. GNNs, on the other hand, embrace the network structure. They allow us to leverage the power of deep learning to analyze these complex biological networks and uncover insights that were previously hidden.
But why are networks so crucial in understanding biological systems? Like, what kind of information do they actually encode?
Think of it this way. Biological systems operate through complex interactions. Genes regulate each other's expression, proteins interact to form complexes, and metabolites are transformed through intricate pathways. These interactions form networks that govern everything from cellular function to disease development.
So instead of just looking at individual components, we need to understand the relationships between them.
Exactly. For example, a protein-protein interaction network maps out which proteins physically bind to each other, revealing functional complexes and signaling pathways. Metabolic networks represent the sequences of chemical reactions within a cell, showing how energy is produced and molecules are synthesized, and gene regulatory networks show us how genes control each other's expression, creating intricate feedback loops that govern cell fate. Each of these networks offers a unique perspective on how biological systems function.
It's like having different maps of a city, each highlighting a different aspect of its infrastructure. Okay, so how do GNNs actually work? What makes them different from traditional neural networks?
GNNs analyze both the individual characteristics of elements within the network, which we call nodes, and the connections between them called edges. Take our example of a protein and a protein interaction network. The GNN considers the protein's inherent properties, like its amino acid sequence, as well as its interactions with other proteins. This dual focus on nodes and edges allows GNNs to capture the complex interplay of individual characteristics and network context.
So it's not just about what a protein ends, but also WHO it interacts with and where it sits in the network.
Precisely. And a key aspect of GNNs is their ability to handle the fact that biological networks often have no inherent order. It doesn't matter which protein we consider first in a network. The relationships stay the same. This property is called permutation invariance, and it's crucial for analyzing biological systems where there's no natural ordering of elements.
That makes sense. If we're analyzing a network of friends, it doesn't matter if we list Sarah before John or John before Sarah. The friendships are what matter. Yeah, I'm starting to see the power of GNNs, but how do they actually learn from these networks?
That's where the concept of embeddings comes in.
Embedding.
GNNs learn to represent each node in the network as a vector of numbers, which we call an embedding. This embedding captures both the node's individual characteristics and its context within the network. Think of it like a fingerprint that summarizes a protein's role based on its properties and its interactions.
So it's like a sophisticated summary of a protein's social life in the network encoded as a bunch of numbers.
Exactly. And what's amazing is that these embeddings are learned by the GNN during the training process.
Oh, wow.
The GNN figures out which aspects of a protein's profile are most important for the task at hand, whether that's predicting its function or its role in a disease.
That's pretty impressive. But how does the learning actually happen?
Yeah.
Is it similar to traditional neural networks where information flows linearly from input to output?
That's a great question, and that's what really sets GNNs apart. In GNNs, information flows along the edges of the network. each node receives information from its neighbors and updates its own representation based on that information. It's a process called message passing.
Message passing. So it's like each node is having a conversation with its neighbors, sharing information and updating its understanding of the world.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. This conversation happens iteratively, with nodes continuously updating their embeddings based on the messages they receive from their neighbors. And through multiple rounds of message passing, each node gathers information not just from its immediate neighbors, but also from more distant parts of the network, building a richer understanding of its place in the overall structure.
It's like each protein is gathering intel from its entire social circle, gradually piecing together a more complete picture of its role in the cellular network.
Precisely. And these learned embeddings become incredibly powerful for a variety of tasks in biomedicine.
Okay.
Let's start with something you're all familiar with as bioengineering students. Protein function prediction.
Predicting protein function. I remember spending hours in the lab trying to figure out what a single protein does that can be a real bottleneck in research.
Exactly. Traditional methods often rely heavily on sequence analysis.
Right.
But GNNs can leverage network information to make more accurate predictions. Remember the Muzio et al. Paper we included in the source material?
Yeah, the one that showed how GNNs could outperform sequence-based methods for predicting protein function?
Precisely. Their GNN model, integrated protein, features interaction data and even the functions of neighboring proteins to predict a protein's role. By considering the protein's network context, they were able to capture information that traditional methods missed.
So instead of just looking at a protein's amino acid sequence,
right,
they're giving the GNN a broader view of its interactions and relationships.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And this approach can be applied to a wider range of protein function prediction tasks, from identifying enzymes involved in metabolic pathways to predicting the roles of proteins in signaling cascades.
Wow.
Imagine being able to rapidly predict the functions of thousands of proteins whose roles are currently unknown that could revolutionize our understanding of cellular processes.
It's like having a cheat sheet for the cellular machinery. Okay, so GNNs can help us decode protein function. What about drug discovery? I bet they're making waves there too.
You're absolutely right. Drug discovery is a notoriously complex and expensive process.
Yeah.
But GNNs are offering new ways to streamline and accelerate it. One key application is predicting drug-target interactions.
Okay.
As bioengineering students, you know that drugs work by binding to specific proteins, either activating or inhibiting them.
Right.
Identifying these drug-protein interactions is crucial for finding potential drug candidates.
But traditionally, figuring out which proteins a drug binds to involves a lot of trial and error, right? It's like searching for a needle in a haystack.
Exactly. But GNNs can help us narrow down the search by predicting which proteins are likely targets for a given drug.
Okay.
They do this by analyzing the molecular structure of the drug and the properties of potential target proteins, along with the network context of those proteins.
So they're essentially combining information about the drug itself with the protein's social network in the cell.
That's a great way to put it. And what's even more impressive is that GNNs can predict not only whether a drug will bind to a target, but also potential off-target effects.
Off-target effects. Those are the unintended interactions that can lead to side effects, right?
Precisely. By predicting these off-target effects early in the drug development process, we can potentially avoid developing drugs that might cause harmful side effects down the line. This is a huge win for both patients and pharmaceutical companies.
It's like having a safety check built into the drug discovery pipeline.
Yeah.
So GNNs can help us find the right targets and avoid unwanted side effects. That's pretty amazing. But what about the challenge of polypharmacy?
Right.
I know that's a growing concern in healthcare. Yeah. Patients often take multiple medications, and predicting the combined effects can be really tricky.
That's a great point, and it's another area where GNNs are showing promise. Remember Decagon, the model we mentioned earlier?
The one that analyzes a multimodal graph of drug and protein interactions?
Exactly. Decagon was specifically designed to predict side effects from drug combinations. It looks at the interactions between drugs, between proteins, and between drugs and proteins, building a comprehensive picture of how these different elements might interact in the body by analyzing this network. Decagon can identify patterns that suggest certain drug combinations are more likely to cause specific side effects.
So instead of just looking at individual drugs in isolation, Decagon considers the whole network of interactions that could occur when multiple drugs are taken together.
Precisely. And the amazing thing is that Decagon can make these predictions even for drug combinations that have never been tested experimentally. This could revolutionize the way we prescribe medications, allowing doctors to choose drug combinations that are more likely to be safe and effective for individual patients.
It's like having a personalized drug interaction checker for every patient. Okay, I'm seeing a theme here. GNNs seem to excel at integrating different types of data and finding patterns that traditional methods miss. But before we get too carried away with the potential of GNNs, let's talk about some of the challenges and considerations involved in using them in a biomedical context.
That's a great point. As with any powerful tool, there are important considerations to keep in mind when working with GNNs. One key challenge is feature selection. Remember, GNNs need data to work with.
Right, like the properties of proteins or the types of interactions they have.
Exactly. But choosing the right features is crucial. We need to select features that are actually relevant to the biological problem we're trying to solve and represent them in a way that the GNN can understand. If we feed the GNN irrelevant or poorly represented features, it's like giving a chef the wrong ingredients. The result won't be very appetizing.
So garbage in, garbage out, even for GNNs.
That's a good way to think about it. Another challenge is network construction. The quality of the GNN's predictions depends heavily on the quality of the input network. We need to carefully consider which interactions to include, how to weigh different types of evidence, and how to handle missing or uncertain data.
It's like building a house. If the foundation is weak, the whole structure is compromised.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of model architecture. There are many different types of GNNs, each with its own strengths and weaknesses. We need to choose the right GNN architecture for the specific biological problem we're trying to solve.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Different GNNs for different biological problems.
Absolutely. Some GNNs are better at handling multiple types of nodes and edges. Some are better suited for large-scale networks, and some are designed to incorporate temporal information. Choosing the right architecture is crucial for getting meaningful results.
It sounds like there's a whole art and science to applying GNNs effectively.
There definitely is, and as bioengineering students, you're in a prime position to contribute to this rapidly evolving field. Your skills in coding data analysis and biological understanding are exactly what's needed to push the boundaries of GNN applications in biomedicine.
This is all incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, how are GNNs actually being used to study diseases?
That's a great question, and that's where we'll pick up in part three of our deep dive. We'll explore how GNNs are being used to analyze cancer, predict disease outbreaks, and even personalize medicine.
So let's continue our deep dive into the world of graph neural networks.
Okay.
And how they're being applied to like one of the biggest challenges in healthcare diseases.
Yeah.
As bioengineering students, you're all too familiar with the complexities of diseases.
Yeah.
From the molecular mechanisms to the systemic effects. GNNs offer like a powerful new lens for understanding these complexities, particularly when it comes to diseases that involve intricate networks of interactions. Last time we talked about how GNNs are being used in drug discovery to predict drug targets and side effects. Now let's zoom in on how they're being applied to analyze specific diseases, diagnose them earlier, and even personalize treatment.
One area where GNNs are showing tremendous promise is cancer research.
Okay.
Remember, cancer is often described as a disease of the network.
Okay.
It involves complex interactions between cells, genes, and signaling pathways leading to uncontrolled growth and spread.
Right.
GNNs are perfectly suited to unraveling these intricate networks and uncovering new insights into how cancer develops and progresses.
So instead of just looking at individual cancer cells under a microscope, GNNs allow us to analyze the entire cellular ecosystem and understand the complex interactions that drive tumor development.
That's a great way to put it. For example, researchers are using GNNs to analyze lung cancer by integrating protein interaction networks with gene expression data from patients. By analyzing these networks, they've been able to identify potential new drug targets and even predict patient outcomes.
That's incredible. So GNNs are not only helping us understand the mechanisms of cancer, but also guiding the development of more effective treatments.
Exactly. And it's not just lung cancer. GNNs are being applied to a wide range of cancers, including breast cancer, where they're being used to classify different subtypes based on network information. This can help doctors choose the most effective treatment plan for each patient, leading to better outcomes and fewer side effects.
It's like GNNs are giving doctors a personalized roadmap for navigating the complexities of cancer treatment. But what about other diseases beyond cancer?
Uh-huh.
Can GNNs be applied to those as well?
Absolutely. GNNs are being explored for a wide range of diseases, from neurological disorders to infectious diseases. They're being used to predict disease gene associations, identify potential biomarkers for early diagnosis, and even understand how diseases spread through populations.
Wait, predict disease outbreaks?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Think about the spread of infectious diseases like the flu or COVID-19.
Right.
It can be modeled as a network with people interacting and forming connections that can transmit the disease. GNNs can analyze these networks, taking into account factors like travel patterns, social interactions, and individual susceptibility to predict how a disease might spread through a community.
So it's like using GNNs to create a real-time map of disease transmission, helping us contain outbreaks before they become widespread.
Precisely. It's still early days, but the potential is enormous. And on a more individual level, GNNs are being used to develop personalized medicine approaches.
Personalized medicine has been the holy grail of healthcare for years.
Yeah.
How are GNNs helping us get closer to that goal?
Remember how we talked about GNNs being able to predict drug target interactions and potential side effects?
Yep.
Well, by combining that information with a patient's individual genetic and medical data, we can start to predict how a particular drug will affect that specific patient.
So instead of a one-size-fits-all approach to treatment,
right,
we can tailor therapies to each patient's unique biology.
Exactly. GNNs can help us identify the right drug at the right dose for the right patient, minimizing side effects and maximizing effectiveness.
This is all mind-blowing. It feels like GNNs are just scratching the surface of what's possible in biomedicine. What's next for GNNs? Where do we go from here?
The field is evolving at an incredible pace. We're seeing new GNN architectures emerge, capable of handling even more complex data and biological problems. There's a push towards integrating multiple types of data and networks, like combining genomic data with protein interaction networks or incorporating temporal information to understand how biological systems change over time.
So it's all about building bigger, better, and more integrated GNN models.
That's a big part of it. Another exciting area is interpretability right now. Many GNN models are like black boxes.
Right.
We know they work, but we don't always understand why.
So we need to make GNNs more transparent so we can understand the reasoning behind their predictions.
Exactly. There's a lot of research focused on developing GNN models that can provide insights into their decision-making process. This will help us not only trust their predictions, but also gain a deeper understanding of the biological mechanisms at play.
So it's not just about building powerful models, but also making them understandable and trustworthy. That makes a lot of sense, especially when we're talking about applications in healthcare.
Absolutely. And as GNNs become more sophisticated and interpretable, we'll likely see them being applied to even more complex biological systems, like modeling entire organs or even simulating the human brain.
Wow, simulating the brain with GNNs. That's next level stuff.
It is, and it has the potential to revolutionize our understanding of neurological disorders and lead to entirely new treatment approaches.
This is all incredibly inspiring.
Yeah.
What's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember from this deep dive into GNNs?
I think the most important takeaway is that GNNs represent a fundamental shift in how we approach biological research in healthcare.
All right.
They allow us to embrace the complexity of biological systems, analyze them as interconnected networks, and extract insights that were previously hidden. And for you as bioengineering students, this is a field ripe with opportunity.
Yeah.
Your skills in coding, machine learning, and biological understanding are exactly what's needed to drive innovation in this area.
So if you're passionate about using technology to solve real-world problems in healthcare, GNNs are definitely worth exploring. Who knows? Maybe one of you will develop the next groundbreaking GNN application that revolutionizes medicine.
The future is in your hands now. Go out there and build something amazing.
That wraps up our deep dive into graph neural networks. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.